This is Gorgeous Escapes. So here I am on Radio Gorgeous, Gorgeous Escapes, with our intrepid travel correspondent, and that is Sarah Tucker, who's been to a place called the Yukon.
I have been.
And I don't know where it is.
I think actually when I told you, and I rang you up and I said, I want to talk about the Yukon. You thought it was somewhere in China or Japan, yes?
Definitely, Yukon, come on.
It does actually sound like you.
Y-U-K-O-N.
Right, yeah, Y-U-K-O-N. It is actually something, it sounds as though you've ordered something from a sort of like a Chinese menu, having some Yukon. But no, it is a province in Canada. It is famous predominantly for the place that was about 110 years ago now, over that, gold was found in Dawson City. If you think of Canada, if you look at a map of Canada above America, because most Americans don't know where Canada is, and it's on the west coast, and you go to Vancouver and you go straight up, and it's there. So if you just think of it that way.
So it's miles away from the UK.
It's miles away from the UK. In fact, actually, if you fly from London, it's direct west and slightly up. So it's sort of like nor-west-west or west-nor-west, something. Yeah, yeah. west-nor-west, yeah. It's like that. But it is beautiful. Uh-huh. It is one of those places that... you go to that is actually good for the soul. I've featured it in my book, The A to Zen of Travel, simply because it is for people if you're suffering from some form of depression or anxiety. It is exactly the sort of environment that if you go to, you'll feel much better, not only because of the people you will meet, but what you will see, the environment, and if we're going to get sort of a holistic about it, if you like the energy.
So what do we see? Is it nature?
Well, I've been there quite a few times. I went there prior to having my son, Tom, who's now 15. I also went, and that was for Classic FM. Then the next time I went was I went for the Discovery Channel, and I presented a series called Trailblazers. And this particular trip was literally following in the footsteps of the Gold Rush Stampeders. So we started from Skagway, Alaska, and ended up at Dawson City. But we actually filmed it the other way around. So rather than going up, we went down, which was quite interesting because at the time I was 5 months pregnant with Tom. And so as the filming progressed, it looked, when you actually saw it actually on TV, it looked as though I got thinner. I was getting thinner and thinner and thinner. The journey had taken it out of me. It has an incredible landscape. If anyone's been to Scotland and seen the best of Scotland, it is like the best of Scottish Highlands, but on a much, much bigger scale, on a huge, much, 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 much bigger
so
scale.
Big purple mountains.
Big purple mountains. Mm. You know, instead of having cows, you have moose, and they are, you know, they're like elephants. They're cows the size of elephants. They really are huge. And people think, you know, people see when they see moose, they always see it within a forest, and you think, oh yes, they're sort of like, you know, they're as big as, well, horses. But they're put up against huge trees, so everything is sort of in perspective, and so you don't really appreciate how big they are. And there's a lot of stories about people who go out there on these wildlife adventures. And I think there's some famous ones where they've gone out to see if they can encounter bears. And some of them have actually been eaten by bears, and sort of like in their attempts to actually encounter bears. And then they're, you know, bears tend to keep away from us, you know, the sort of bears you'll find.
Did you see a bear?
I didn't see the bear the last time I went, but I have seen bears before. The thing to remember with bears, and there's more grizzly bears there than there are anywhere else in the world. In fact, there's more animals there than there are people. Bears are fine, but if you get between them and their cubs, they will kill you. There's a sort of like, it's not a case of
that. Another thing.
It is, you know, it's sort of like, you know, that there's this thing that they have
felt like that.
Well, there's this thing called pepper spray that they have there, which is, as it sounds, it's a spray of pepper. But and they said if you see a bear, you spray it at the bear. The problem is you've got to get so close to the bear to spray it into its eyes. You've got to ask the bear there to look straight at the pepper spray so that the spray can go. And obviously, the bear will have eaten you by then. Also, if the wind's going in the wrong direction, this thing will go into your eyes. And it is dreadful. There was one of the trips that I did, I went up in a helicopter, which does the, you know, you can go with these wonderful rides and look over this, like the glaciers. There's a part of the Yukon which is all glacial. It is phenomenal, but that's by the by. I mentioned that later. But some of these trips, they take them to see bears, and one of these pepper sprays canisters burst in the helicopter, and everyone died, and it crashed. So although they sell it there, they don't really recommend it. But anyway, that's sort of, and everyone also has a bear story. If you meet any of the locals, they will say that they encountered a bear at some stage, but their dog saved them from the bear. And the dog is usually as big as a chihuahua. It's usually a really small dog. They are scared of small dogs. I think it's a bit like the mouse and the elephant. Yeah. It's sort of like the thing that they can't quite get a grip, and it scares them and freaks them out, and they go away.
Fabulous. So does everyone have small dogs?
Everyone has small dogs. Everyone, forget the big dogs. The big dogs, they can whack, but the small dogs, they're actually scared of. So everyone has quite small dogs, and it is because of the bears. It's not because they're handbag dogs, but they're because of the...
Else does do? Is it trekking there?
The sort of things that you do there, it's got, as I said, incredible kayaking. There's a river called the Alsek, and it runs into another one called the Alsek Tashinshini, and it's got some of the most vigorous white water rafting in the world. I joined a group when I was filming for the Discovery Channel, and we had a film crew, and there was about 5-6 people already on this group that we joined. And when you join something like this, your guides are phenomenal people.
Are they like Inuits, or are they...
Well, in this particular case, they were extreme sports people. So slightly bonkers, but very, very grounded when they're looking after others. In fact, I think with extreme sports people, because they do everything, they would never recommend people do what they do, because they know how far you can go. So because they've done it, they don't need to impress anyone. Their biggest challenge is with themselves. So they're very good at looking after other people, because they would never recommend other people do what they do. Great. But because of what they do, they're extremely strong. They have a lot of tenacity. And they led us on a trip through, the river where we encountered icebergs. We were kayaking around icebergs. This is what I mentioned about the glacial lake and the glacier. The thing is, it's wonderful kayaking around icebergs, but as anyone who knows the story of Titanic, you've got to be very careful, because at any time, especially if the bergs aren't so big, they can tip up. And if they tip up, they cause a wave and they cause suction. They will pull you under. And then there's whirlpools, there's things like that. So there is a lot of, it's not just perceived danger with the bears and the whirlpools and the icebergs. It is genuine danger. So you do meet a lot of characters who are guides, who are strong on every level. They have wonderful storytellers. There are some major towns there. There's one called Whitehorse, which is the capital of the Yukon.
Whitehorse.
It is one of those. And you know, the roads, you know, I was with the tour guide, and was driving down a street, and I hired an RV the last time I went, and I took my teenage son with me. And I said, do you ever get any sort of like road rage or traffic jams here? And he said, yes, for about 5 minutes in the afternoon. We have sort of like a sort of traffic, but it goes after 5 minutes.
What else do you do there?
Well, kayaking is wonderful. You can go hiking. Ironically, there's a growth, because it's such a spiritual place and the wilderness is so vast. There's a lot of yoga now. There's quite a few retreats, but they're very authentic. I think the travel industry likes that word, authentic, but there's nothing manufactured about them. So the retreats that you go there, they are in the national parks. You have got to be careful with the bears and the wildlife. You know, when I was there and I was driving my RV, I think my phrase that I came back with is that, you know, even free spirits need diesel because, you know, you're driving an RV and I'd never driven an RV before and I was driving 1,600 miles like within about 4 or 5 days. So I was like, I was really going for it.
Sarah Tucker on Gorgeous Escapes on Radio Gorgeous.
And there's wonderful, wonderful routes. There's a route called the Top of the World where you slightly leave the Yukon and you enter American territory and then you go back into Canada again, into Dawson City, where the gold was found. But the most important thing when you're driving an RV is that you don't want to run out of fuel, because if you run out of fuel, you are in the middle of wilderness. And if you don't see a bear, I guarantee you, you will see a bear when you run out of fuel. So you just don't want to do that.
So did you take some spare fuel?
You always take some spare fuel with you. Also, when you have an RV, there's some very, very good companies. When you land, you fly into Whitehorse, usually via Vancouver, fly into Vancouver from London, and then you fly into Whitehorse from Vancouver. You get an RV, but they talk you around what you need to do, you know, how to clean out things like the toilets, which is not so exciting. But kids, teenagers, particularly teenagers, if you're looking for something that will please the hard to please teenager, traveling around Canada, the big open wilderness in an RV, they will love. And also, I say they will love, but as far as being internet friendly, it's not. As far as being phone friendly, it's not.
You know, great.
Have to talk to one another.
Brilliant.
You have to play games. It is authentic. And also, if you have an RV, they have these parking places that you can go to, and there's some parking places that have got all the electricity and others that are very beautiful, but they don't have all the electricity. So
you're like, you're camping, really.
Well, it is camping, yeah. But it is on a scale like some of these RVs. I'm not joking. You'd get, they're bigger than a lot of houses, but driving them is a completely different thing. You know, as I was driving round, like I went to this place
and
called.
Yours was only for two people.
Mine was only for two people, but it was absolutely ideal. I was fine with it, but we went to this place called Chicken. It's like a warm hiccup of a town. It was absolutely beautiful, and they called it Chicken because when the people arrived there, there were loads of ptarmigans around.
A ptarmigan
is a bird. But it's a sort of like it's a very beautiful bird. But they couldn't spell it. So it's P-T-A-R, sort of like M-E.
So they call it chicken.
So chicken. They did, sort of like, you know.
Well, I need to ask, what do you eat there? Because I'm quite a fussy eater. What do you eat in Canada?
What do you eat in Canada? Well, Canada is mainly famous for its maple syrup. I don't eat red meat, but the only time I've ever eaten red meat in Canada, I've eaten it, actually, ironically, in the Yukon, and I ate moose stew with some First Nation people that I met just outside Dawson City. And I also went salmon fishing with them. The First Nations there are able to, this is the indigenous people there who were there before, sort of like the English arrived, that they are able to fish the wild salmon in the waters. And I was lucky enough to fish one with them, but they're huge, they're absolutely huge fish, and gut it and smoke it. And had some salmon, which was absolutely gorgeous, actually quite fatty. Wild salmon is actually quite fatty, so you get lots and lots of oil from it. But they created this moose stew, and it was phenomenal. So I think even if you are a vegetarian, when you go to a place like the Yukon and they have something like moose on the menu, or the, you know, wild salmon, try it. Just try unless it's sort of some ethical reason. Just try, because it's the sort of place where it really does taste good, and it will be, you know, nothing added. You know, nothing added, nothing taken away.
As we know, it gets really cold there. What time of year would you say you go to the Yukon?
I would recommend going to the Yukon in early summer. So June, I would say June, July. You can go in during the school holidays. Like I took Tom in the school holidays, I think sort of towards the end of July last year. And it was wonderful. The only thing is that just like a lot of places in Canada, around the world, but they have something called no-see-ums. And no-see-ums are little midges that bite you. Mm-hmm. And you can't see them. That's why
they're like Scotland at the beginning. You said it was like...
Well, it is. It's like no scent, but they are rampant, and you can buy loads of different creams, and they cost a lot of money. The creams, but the one thing that worked is
Avon. I think.
It's Avon. It's Avon. It's something ridiculous.
Because it works for Scottish midges. Avon. Yeah. Apparently, all the gillies use Avon, which is hysterical.
Yeah, I think they have in Canada. There's something by Ponds, like it's a Ponds cream, but it's something really basic like that. And everybody, and you know, you have these really rugged. Sort of lumberjack types who are, you know, it's nothing Monty Python about them. They really are rugged, putting loads of this sort of like skin softening cream on, and they're sort of looking at me and they say sort of, I don't care, it works, so whatever. He said,
did you have to do it?
I did it, yes, and Tom did it, because if you are bitten, it's sort of like it comes like out like a really, really bad rash. And you know, forget the bears and forget the coyote.
Okay?
Yes. Okay. So I kayaking, hiking. Also around there's been a huge growth in mountain biking. So if you go mountain biking, even extreme mountain bikers, like we went to a place called Carcross where a lot of the Gold Rush Stampeders, they first arrived in order to build, they each had to build their boat. There was a place called Bennett on Bennett Lake, and they actually had to prove that they could build a boat to start their journey to Dawson City, where the gold was. Now, it's a bit like asking you to build a boat. I'm sure you can build a boat, Joe, but or me to build a boat. Some of these people were builders, so that's fine, but they were house builders, you know, they weren't particularly built builders, so everybody had to build a boat, so a lot of them sank, so a lot of them died.
That was quite a good plan for people.
It gets rid of people.
Exactly,
so, you know,
yeah.
there's
they
no
all get the girls,
it's very, very black and white. And also a lot of women died, because a lot of the women, the fashion was at the time to wear very long skirts, you know, you wouldn't show ankle. You had the skirts were weighted at the bottom so that they wouldn't flap in the
when they got wet.
And if they fell in, they literally sank. So let's say there were very few women in Dawson City.
So a lot of
the women who did arrive there were prostitutes. That, you know, they weren't wives or girlfriends or anything like that. When you get to Dawson City, this is why I strongly recommend people who go there, who go to the Yukon, not to just sort of like go here and everywhere, to follow in the footsteps of the Gold Rush Stampeders, because it's a very interesting journey in itself. I don't recommend building your own boat, but just driving it is very interesting, even if you don't have an RV, because there's some very interesting stops along the way. But Dawson City itself is... a fascinating place. You've still got one of the dredgers, or some of the dredgers that used to dredge for gold there, and it is like something out of one of these Japanese cartoons. It's like this grotesque monster with lots of arms and legs. And also you have guides, as I said, the people, the Yukoners themselves are fascinating. They are all storytellers. The Yukoners, they just look like you and me.
Okay.
They're actually
not tribal people. Either.
No, yeah. They're as I said, you do have the First Nation people who are you know, the indigenous Indians. And they have a wonderful culture, wonderful crafts, you know, the wonderful, if you want a souvenir from this place, get some soapstone sculptures or wooden carvings. They're incredibly creative. In fact, I met a man called Wolf Smarch, who is a First Nation Indian, and he's actually met Prince Charles, and he produced, when Prince Charles went over to Canada many, many years ago, it must have been about 30, 40 years ago now, he presented a wooden mask to him, which he'd carved. And I was introduced to him, and he was making a beautiful totem pole. And Tom, my son, he was able to help him carve some of the totem pole, which I think is a big deal. Yeah. I think it's a big deal.
Yeah. Especially as it's a spiritual tool.
Well, it is. It's a spiritual tool. Obviously, things are perhaps not as authentic as they used to be. A funny story, we were on Bennett Lake, as I mentioned before, the place where all people were building their boats and they went off. And we were fishing. And as I said before, when I was there for the Discovery Channel, when I was pregnant with Tom, we'd gone fishing and I caught a salmon, I'd killed the salmon. And I thought this would be fun for Tom to do. So we went out into the lake and said Wolf Smarch was there and sort of like he was looking. And he said, right, there are 6 salmon over there and there are 3 trout over there and there are 5 whitefish. Yes. So I thought, I was thinking, oh my word, how wonderful. Yeah. And I said, you can tell that there's salmon over there and whitefish over there and sort of like trout to our left. And he said, well, it says that on the radar. You can see in the radar. You know, so it's you know, he's just pointing.
Come a long way, baby.
Yeah, yeah, it's sort of like, so it's not quite as, but when you go there, getting back to the energy, the emotional side of it, it's the sort of place where, especially if you go, like there's some tours that you can go on, as I said, with these guys, which we joined when we were in the film crew, where you quickly realise the most important thing in the world is you have something to eat, something to drink, and somewhere warm to sleep every night. And what is important in your life. We layer ourselves with so much stuff that isn't important. And when you go to somewhere like the Yukon, it strips you bare emotionally. Excuse the pun. It literally does strip you bare and shows you what's important in life, but also really what's important to you in life. Because I think our we get very clouded, we lose focus, we literally lose the plot. And going on this sort of journey, there was as a lot of the people did in the Gold Rush Stampede, the ones who made it, by the time they made it, Joe, there was no gold left. All the gold had been staked. They arrived and all the gold had gone. It all been also all the land had been claimed, absolutely everything. And so they had to make a living. But they said, and there was a famous Scottish poet, we talk about Scotland, a Scottish poet called Robert Service, who arrived there. And he was completely transfixed and in love with the place. And he said, the wealth of this place isn't in the gold. It is in the landscape. It is in the people. It is in the energy. It is in the experience and the journey. And that is spot on. That is spot on. It is one of the most phenomenal places I have ever visited in the world. In all my 20 years as a travel journalist, it is one place that has touched me more than any other.
Can't get a higher recommendation than that, Sarah Tucker. Thank you so much for telling us about the Yukon.
Thank you.
Gorgeous Escapes with Sarah Tucker.